I kind of feel like the way to open this show is to simply read the title. Early Fantasy Winners and Losers, comma, Central Division. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a Sports Ethos presentation, hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, an FSWA Hall of Famer, Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Tomorrow, I'm way more excited to have our own Mark Camaro on the show, as we just did a dynasty discussion yesterday, and he can laugh at us, you know, for whatever we got wrong. And he can contribute to that discussion amazingly. And I really just like to get people on the show who've been working really, really hard and get them some shine. As for today, I think this is actually going to be pretty good. I think there's going to be some interesting fantasy discussions. Within five teams, we can probably fill a 30-minute episode with some pretty good stuff. So hopefully that can get you all lathered up out there. If you are all lathered up, please consider subscribing to the show on all of your favorite platforms. Like, review, give us all that feedback. Thank you so much. With that in mind, it's time to bring in Steve Alexander. My question for you is, do you want to dive into the implications of Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jay Crowder, Delon Wright, Torian Prince swapping around 50 minutes a game, or do you want to go right to Chicago and just talk about them for 30 minutes?
Brew, I'm fine with either one of those options. I'm just glad you didn't ask me anything about being lathered up.
Well, I mean, you just sort of gave me the opening to ask you, but I'll pivot out of this. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in a game of blackjack or poker, unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get in the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here.
Winners or losers in Milwaukee? Are there any?
I'll tell you, I every time I talk about Milwaukee, I talk about Drew Holiday leaving, and I still can't get over that. Is Torian Prince gonna start for this team? Is that what's happening here? Is Brooke Lopez 40 years old yet? Is Chris Middleton going to ever be the player he once was? Is Damian Lillard ever going to play defense? And is Giannis's knee going to hold up? And that's what I think of when I think of this team.
I mean, I guess if you wanted to really try to break this down, folks that are doing well in the status quo, because there's no changes are made, then maybe they're the winners. I mean, Damian Lillard might be a winner because they didn't bring in some high utilization guy, you know, if they could even, you know, and so he's going to just be on the top of the pecking order. To answer your earlier question, I don't think Chris Middleton will ever be the player that he once was. So to that end, you know, like Brooke Lopez and even Giannis, with whatever his fantasy game means to you, means a lot of different things to different people based on different punt builds, but you know, there's a lot of things he has to punt now to be a top guy. Still, that said, no other additional players, and Middleton's sort of on the downslope, putting it nicely. He's kind of a winner. Brooke Lopez is kind of a winner. Bobby Portis is kind of a winner.
But yeah, I think Prince probably starts. He's got a good placeholder starter kind of a game. Maybe he's a little bit of a winner. Let's see if Monterey Jackson Jr. gets some time.
I don't know. There's not much I like about this team. And then you wrap it all together, put a big bow on it by the name of Doc Rivers, right?
Wow. Pretty bad.
Looking at that Milwaukee depth chart, I know we're moving on to Cleveland, but looking at that, man, they won. And it looked like they were poised to win for a long time, and now they've fallen behind so many teams in the East, I feel like.
I really wonder, you know, if you had boots on the ground there and you really just understood the whole thing as an insider, how much Giannis has his finger on the scale, or his people, or even it's not even the player. It's like a combo of the player and the organization sort of being timid and wanting to keep the star player happy. Like, how much did he put his finger on the scale and mess things up? But I go back to that Middleton signing. I think you could have seen this coming from a mile away. Why keep Middleton involved? Was that to keep Giannis happy? Was that just, whose mistake was that?
Because if you take Middleton out of this equation and you put a player making that kind of money that's just a middle of the road, good upside guy, you know, I think that their future looks a lot brighter. Middleton and Lillard defensively is just not okay. That's a ton of problems there in Milwaukee.
All right, what's going on? What's going on in Cleveland?
Well, I mean, they fired Bickerstaff, so that's not great. But they re-signed Donovan Mitchell, and they've sort of decided, at least for now, that they're going to run it back. I would call Darius Garland a loser in this equation, but I don't even really want to get too far ahead of that, because I really, they got to make a move there, don't they? Like, Garland's agent was pretty vocal in league circles about wanting to get his guy out of there. But ultimately, if you can keep Mitchell, you keep Mitchell, right? You know, if you're Cleveland. So Garland's got to be a loser there. But they got to move him, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Maybe they don't want to move him because his value is too low right now after some of what we saw in the postseason and just a down year in general. I mean, they lost a lot of nothingness. Marcus Morris, Damian Jones, Tristan Thompson. I mean, none of that moves the needle at all. They've still got the same core. Max Strus, Caris LeVert, Okoro, not yet signed. Mobley, Allen, Yang. I can't say that guy's name without laughing. He's got the great NBA nickname, the minivan. And just a guy that talks a ton of trash and gets relentlessly burned on the floor constantly.
George Nyang. George Jones. I think Darius Garland is a very serviceable NBA point guard. But I mean, is that a compliment? I don't know.
Didn't he seem like he was an upper tier guard?
I thought he was going to be.
I think he still can be.
And then we got Colin Sexton that was there and he went to Utah.
Yeah.
Like, once they split those two up, I thought Garland was going to kind of blow up, but then Mitchell showed up and Mitchell kind of overshadows everything on that team. So that's going to be tough. But I mean, they've got solid pieces, man. Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus looks like he's probably, I feel like he might be a winner. Like, we may see a Max Strus leap this year. And then their front court of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen is kind of awesome.
Yeah, and I would almost say that, like, both of them are sort of losers in this, in the sense that they both still have to play next to each other. Them getting split up, you know, one way or another would be good for them. But, I mean, that's struggling to drop people into very distinct buckets of winner and loser. Not much happened with this team. Same thing with the Pacers. We didn't have a ton of action, though this one's at least a little bit more interesting. So in comes James Wiseman, out goes Jalen Smith. If James Wiseman is a nothing burger, just an acquisition with no real future, like they're not going to play him, then you took away one of the big men in the big men equation, and theoretically, Isaiah Jackson would become a winner. Is that how you see it there?
I mean, in theory, yes. But every time, it feels like anytime any of us get excited about a big man in Indy not named Miles Turner, it never seems to work out. I mean, they've got Pascal Siakam, Obi Toppin, Jairus Walker, Miles Turner, Isaiah Jackson, James Wiseman. Like, that's six big men. And there's only so many minutes to go around, and we know Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam are going to get a lot of those. I mean, I want to call Isaiah Jackson a winner. I want to call Obi Toppin a winner. We still need to see what Jairus Walker's doing. But, I mean, are those guys going to get any playing time?
Not if James Wiseman's in the mix.
James Wiseman.
I guess the way that
is he good
Isaiah
or not?
Jackson's the winner is Wiseman's not.
Not good.
I don't know. I don't think he's good. No, I don't. I think that he doesn't really understand the game. I don't think that he does anything super dominant. Like, you know, when he was coming into the league, everybody looked at the film and said, wow, you know, this guy could just be, you know, in that vein of not Wemby, but like, you know, just sort of like big man freak, and that everything would get, he would improve and everything. And then it's just like none of that happened.
Because he was the number two pick, right?
Yeah, my Warriors, they just blew it.
Wow. Is James Wiseman like 24 years old?
24, something like that.
23. Like, there's time, right?
There's time, but like nothing, even, you know, when he's been getting minutes at, you know, Detroit or wherever, you know, it's like nothing has really screamed that this guy gets it, you know, or that this guy's got. I remember watching Rashawn Holmes play, you know, when he was stuck in Philly. And I was screaming at the top of the mountaintops, like, this guy's got it. You know, whatever it is, he's got it. You know, it took 3-4 years for him to get a chance. I've never watched James Wiseman once and been like, wow, that dude's got it. If you're looking and you're trying to sift and you're like, if you think, okay, well, Miles Turner's an injury risk. You know, like, what if Miles Turner goes down? We'd always have to look and be like, well, is it going to be Jalen or is it going to be Isaiah Jackson that's going to get some beneficiary love there? And it's in this now, I don't think you have to do that. So maybe Isaiah Jackson is a winner. I don't know how this will actually pan out during drafts and things like that. I think there's a lot of Isaiah Jackson fatigue out there, but obviously the talent is there, and you all know what I think of Isaiah Jackson. So I call him a winner. I don't think there's any other winners or losers in this mix, though. I mean, we just saw everybody's best punch in the playoffs. We kind of know who everybody is. I agree, Obi Toppin's probably a little bit of a winner. But Carlisle could just come in and play Wiseman, you know, 15 minutes a game for some reason and just ruin everything. So there's that. All right, hey, let's talk Chicago. There's all sorts of cool names, but Josh Giddey's at the top of the list with this. He's in. Caruso's out. DeMar DeRozan's out. Andre Drummond's out. Jalen Smith, speak of the devil, he's in. And that's pretty much it as far as names. I was listening to Frank Isola and Brian Scalabrine on the radio yesterday, and they were butchering the first overall pick's name. And they had like nothing to say about him at all. They could talk about Cooper Flagg all day, but like the top number one overall pick, like, and Bronny, yeah, exactly. And I mean, this draft, I think, is definitely a little bit on the low end. But Giddey comes into Chicago. I think this is really big. I actually traded away Giddey in a dynasty league. Speaking of dynasty, traded away Giddey, and I felt pretty giddy about it at the time. Now he's going to get sort of a max Giddey effect with no Caruso, no DeRozan, and you're going to play by Zach LaVine, who may or may not have a knee by the end of this upcoming season. He's a winner, yeah?
Absolutely, dude. He needed to get out of Oklahoma City. So that's a big move for him. I think it may hurt Kobe White just a little bit. Zach LaVine, I read today the Bulls are still trying to find a trading partner for him. Like, who knew that Zach LaVine was going to end up kind of being a poison pill?
I mean, I wouldn't have paid him that big money. I think that the signs for that were there. But like, it just doesn't work that way in today's NBA. Once a guy's deemed like a certain level of a superstar, it just feels like teams go all in on these guys. And like with LaVine, I was just immediately like, why are you paying him this money? I'd been down on LaVine in the past and I'd kind of flip-flop both ways. Like there was a point in time where he was at his healthiest, most superstar peak. And I just was enamored with the way that he makes shots. Like he's a pretty efficient, high volume guy at that peak. Then the injuries, and now he's trying to be the same guy. And sometimes he can get it. He could crank and get up to like 40 points in a game, but like, it doesn't make his teammates any better, you know, because the limitations and teams are willing to let Zach LaVine beat them. Yeah. They're trying to trade him, I'm sure. Is there anybody out there who would do it? I kind of think the answer is no.
Yeah.
Giddy and Kobe and Zach, they're going to kind of share the ball there.
And then Io DeSumo is a winner, right? Because Alex Caruso is in OKC.
Yeah, I mean, if you add Caruso and DeRozan being gone, that's a really big deal in the backcourt. So, like, while these three guys got a share of the ball, you lost more than you gained, I think. I mean, Giddy's going to be where do you think Giddy goes in drafts?
Well, dude, Giddy's a guy, like,
I think it does make a difference here.
You were talking about James Wiseman, like, you've never watched him play and kind of gone, wow. And Josh Giddy, that happens quite often. Yeah, his shot is a little wonky, but, I mean, that kid, he could be a walking triple-double. And especially if he gets confidence, you know, I think that's his biggest problem is he had that legal issue going on last year. And he was kind of playing in this. He was sort of out of place with that team with SGA and Jalen being there. So I think this is a new start for him. Great place for him to be in. And I think he's going to come out kind of with a chip on his shoulder and ball out. Like, where is he going to get drafted? I mean, I could see me taking Giddy round
eight,
four, round five.
I was going to say, like, if it was a nine cat league, where would you take him?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's going to be a fifth round guy in most drafts. I'm feeling Giddy this year, and he's probably going to be a guy that I reach for just because I think this could work out very well for him.
I mean, I think it really could work out well for him. And we were screaming from the mountaintops that he needed to be traded, and that he did get traded. And, I mean, man, if Chicago, especially if they just kind of, like, just throw caution to the wind and just try to lose games or something, like, throwing Giddy out there, you know, and just letting him do things and not kind of caring about the defensive deficiencies or the shot not being there, just let him expand his game. Let him get as much experience as possible. That could be really good, not just for him as a player, but for fantasy GMs. And it'll probably make the Bulls look a little bit better in the process, because that was a crazy deal. I'm sorry. Like, maybe not a crazy, crazy deal. Let me tap the brakes on that a little bit. But Caruso is just a winning basketball player. And maybe the thought process is that you just don't care and you're just trying to reset and see what you have in Giddy. I don't know. I think Jalen Smith is a big winner here. I did figure out that Modest Bouzelis, if I'm getting that right, is the number 11 overall draft pick for the Chicago Bulls. Probably in a decent little situation. I mean, a little bit of a prospect, I'm told here by crack producer Andre Limos. I don't know if he's going to factor into the plans, but Jalen Smith is definitely ready to take on more NBA minutes. Are you going to be in on Jalen Smith this year for drafts?
Well, here's the thing, dude. Like, every year, all the experts keep telling me that Pat Williams is going to be really good. I've never seen it.
I made my mistake once.
I've never seen it. I've never invested in him. I'm not going to be on his bandwagon this year.
So I wonder, did Billy Donovan ruin that guy?
I don't know.
A thought that's been banging around in my brain.
But
the year he was supposed to go off, he got hurt, and then he came back into the beginning of the season and, like, stood in the corner and didn't, like, ran away from the basketball. Whether it was a rebound, a shot, you name it, he was not in on it. He's like, I ain't going to do it. And never really never got okay after that.
With Williams not looking great, LaVine nowhere to be seen. I mean, Jalen Smith has got a real chance to do something on this team. Like, he may be starting.
They just paid Pat Williams, so that's the one. And Chicago's known for doing screwy things kind of constantly. And I feel like that's going to screw things up a little bit, but...
Like, can't you play can't you play Pat at small forward and play Jalen at power forward?
Theoretically, yeah. And why not on this roster? I mean, it's not teeming with talent. It is a bad, in many respects, roster. Once you get past Kobe...
Well, Kobe has a lot of flaws in his game, too.
I like Kobe a lot. I think he stepped his defense up. I think that he's got physical skills that, like, you know, translate to being a top-ish player in the league. That's a very broad term, by the way. But yeah, after that, I'm like, I mean, you got problems left and right. Like, Giddy defensively, Io, if you want to probably say offensively, you know, Levine, the knee, Pat Williams, see the last 4 years, Vooch, old, end of list. Jalen Smith could clean up, but will he? And his game's weird. Like, sometimes you think he's got a good per minute game, and then sometimes it's like, it's not there. Can he do it in 20 minutes per game? Can he get you enough value in 20 minutes per game where he can actually justify a spot on your roster? That's kind of the question I have with Jalen Smith heading.
Well, just like Josh Giddey, I think Jalen Smith needed a fresh start. And he's got one, and he's young. Like, I think he's going to be I'm probably going to draft Jalen Smith a lot late in my drafts. And this reminds me of that year that I've talked about a couple of times on these shows. You know, the Pacers came out early one year and I was like, oh, Jalen Smith is our starting power forward. And I think everybody, especially me, went bananas and was like, oh, I'm drafting Jalen Smith. I can't wait.
And he blew a hole in our rosters.
He didn't do anything. But if we take him in, you know, the 11th or 12th round, yeah, sign me up for a terrible team.
The other interesting thing is playing with Giddy, that opens things up, like, shots-wise. There could be a lot more easy action on the floor. And even if you want to get even more into it, like, a team with Giddy on it is very likely to play up-tempo and, you know, accumulate more statistics throughout the course of a game. So there's a lot. The Chicago thing is interesting, even though the roster, like, starts to fall. Once you start talking about the roster, it starts to fall apart really quick. They might be at risk of being too bad, you know, to really have a great fantasy season. But at any rate, so some winners. Josh Giddey, a big winner in Chicago. Jalen Smith, a winner. I don't know if there's any losers based on all of this, except for Bulls fans. Detroit, to close it out here, they get rid of Monty Williams. That's just a crazy story in of itself. They hire JB Bickerstaff, so he stays inside the division. Not that that really matters. They get rid of Troy Weaver. I mean, this is a franchise in disarray. They get Paul Reed off waivers. It's like jumping off the page interesting here. Tobias Harris is in. Ron Holland is in. Malik Beasley is in. Tim Hardaway Jr. is in. Some guy named Bobby Klintman is in. And then out is Grimes and Chimezie Metu, who had a sneaky good finish, Metu did, for Detroit down the stretch. So who's the winner here? Is it Tobias?
He
goes to a place where he can shoot?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Is Detroit going to try to win this year, or are they going to tank? What a mess. What a mess of a roster this is to me. Is Jalen Duren going to ever blow up like we kind of think he is? Tobias Harris, is he a winner? I mean, I don't know. He's got to get more looks than he did in Philly, though, right? So, yeah, I'd say he's a bit of a winner. And I think my guy, Simone Fontecchio, takes a big hit, playing behind Harris probably. But, Tim Hardaway.
A little disappointing, like, especially if you're a Sar Thompson fan. Yeah, and I'm literally looking at him right now. It's like the makings of a bad fantasy squad, like when you start bringing in Tim Hardaway's and Malik Beasley's. I mean, these are guys that gobble minutes up sometimes and don't do anything with them. I mean, you got a roster that's got Marcus Sasser at third point guard, you know, third string point guard, and he's somebody that they kind of like, and they put him out there every so often. And I mean, he's a young guy. You want to put somebody like that on a bad team out there. So it's like everybody's just picking at minutes here and there. You got Ron Holland on the team. He's going to need minutes. Fontecchio is probably going to be one of their better players.
In the past, he hasn't had like a fantasy friendly game, but I when I saw his film before he came over, I was like, man, that guy looks like an NBA player. He should probably play more. And I'm happy to report that that happened.
If they don't let Auster Thompson play this year, I'm gonna riot.
I will join you. But Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart is also another one that like really irritates me out of Detroit. Like that guy just got paid kind of for no reason. I mean, he's not like a terrible, these are NBA pros. These are the best basketball players in the world. Nothing against Isaiah Stewart, but like, when did he do anything that deserved anything? Like he's like a mountain of a man that they're like, hey, go decide to shoot threes, buddy. That's your ticket.
And, he's like, and okay, now they added big ball Paul to that mix, which that's a crowded center group right there.
And it's like, on one hand, it's like you want to get excited about Paul Reed and be like, okay, it's a bad team. You know, theoretically, he should get minutes, but it's Duren, Stewart, Tobias. And then you start getting into Thompson and on down the roster. It's like, where's Paul going to get his minutes? Where's basketball Paul going to get those 30 minutes per game that we've all been dreaming about?
Dude, I've never been on the Paul Reed train, and I probably never will be.
I hate to admit it, but I've been there, and it ain't great. Actually, though, but it's funny, though, that I say that. Like, I predicted he would finish at 75 overall last season in a cumulative ranking, and I think he finished at, like, 85 or something. It was, like, everything that you thought would happen happened, and it just wasn't good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you really get top 75 value out of Paul Reed as it happened? It's like, no. He sucked in the beginning, and then when John B went down, he got kind of enough value and accumulated that over time to get to top 85 or whatever. And you're just like, that was not a good ride. I did not get my money's worth.
I think another reason that Isaiah Stewart takes a hit is Tobias Harris, because if they didn't have Harris and Fontecchio and Auster, all those guys can play power forward. I mean, there's no reason for Stewart to play power forward on this team. So he's going to be playing center, which means he's playing behind Duren, and he's competing for minutes with B-Ball Paul. And that's not a good thing.
I didn't see him do anything really well, Isaiah Stewart. I mean, he's got the body, but like, just it doesn't translate into like the other team not wanting to go near him. You know, so there's just nothing being leveraged with that at all. So, and they can't get rid of him, of course, because of the contract. So I would just, if I was Detroit, I'd just stick him at the end of the bench and just eat the money and, you know, try to figure it out that way. And see Paul Reed go for like 18 minutes a game or something. All right, unless you got anything else to offer on Detroit, I'm going to get us out of here, because tomorrow we're going to be back with our own Mark Camaro to pick his brain on all things dynasty and who to keep an eye out in this rookie class. I definitely haven't done my rookie film work yet, so I'll get a little head start on that with Mark. And yeah, give us all a follow. Follow Doc at DOCKTORA, myself at Aaron Bruschi. Follow the team, or probably not the team, but the blurb handles at Ethos Fantasy NBA, Ethos Fantasy NFL, and Ethos Fantasy BB for baseball, and get all of our free blurb analysis. Also get the info on all of our promos for all of the great products for premium that we're offering right now. NFL Draft Guide, NFL Draft Tracker. These are tools that you got to have if you want to win your NFL drafts, win your NFL fantasy leagues, and you get early access to the B150 as the clock just ticks and the calendar pages flip. And we will be in August and September and NBA draft season for fantasy leagues in no time. So keep an eye out for all that stuff. Big thank you to Steve. Big thank you to Andre, our producer, Andre Lemos. And most importantly, thank you guys for making Sports Ethos everything it is. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, be well.